1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. So, as we've been discussing just now, he died at the same time as the Jewish people sacrificed a lamb for the evening sacrifice at 3 p.m. as the sun was beginning to set. But of course, he was on the cross at 9 a.m., the third hour from 6 a.m., when they sacrificed the morning sacrifice, morning and evening. So certainly timing fits very well, for he is our Passover lamb. So in that we do rejoice. But when you think about our salvation came from the death of Jesus, and our justification and righteousness came from the resurrection. And he was 3 days and three nights in the tomb, as we know. So hallelujah, what a savior we have. What a great rescue act from very hell and the lake of fire for each one of us. So, well, in a Jewish home, what the mother does before the Passover celebration takes place, and then unleavened bread, the woman of the home, in a ceremonial way, she sweeps the whole house to make sure there's no leaven in the house. Now, of course, the application to our own lives, that there's no leaven in our lives, and we're to be swept clean by the blood of the Lamb, constantly. So that's important. So in one sense, of course, when we think of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, and they celebrated this meal, it also, you could say, became the first communion, the first breaking of bread for believers in the church. And of course, the Lord Jesus is with us today as he was then. So the Jewish mother then searches the house and removes every crumb of leaven she can find. And that was very thorough. So what the woman of the house does, of the home does then, she lights a candle on the table. And she covers her head and she prays a prayer like this as she lights the candle. And the prayer goes like this: Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who at first did create light and would send your own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the light of the world. So that's the first thing. There's light coming on the table of the Passover. So that's her work at the very first. So this is called the Kiddush, or the blessing on the Passover. It's really a prayer of sanctification, separating out as they joined into the Passover. And for us, like communion, the Lord separates us out to be with himself. And it's a very wonderful thing. Now, if you would pour out the first cup, please, and if you've already done so, yes, the first little cup of wine or whatever you have, grape juice, if you would pour that out, please, first of all. And there's a prayer. I'm going to read the prayer. Thank you. That's excellent, Robert. Excellent. I'm going to read the prayer, but I'm going to read it in Hebrew first and then in English. Here's the Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam borei pri hagafen. In English, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine. If you open your Bibles now, I hope you have your Bible handy. We're going to look at two places. The first one is in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 6. If you please would open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6. We'll just wait for you to find it. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, I'm going to read two verses, 6 and 7. 6 and 7 of Exodus 6. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from your bondage and their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did for us at the cross. He's redeemed us. He's relieved us from the burden of sin and their responsibility like a bondage. And he redeemed us with an outstretched arm. His arms are outstretched at the cross, we believe. Exodus 6, 6 and 7. And would you go on to Luke's gospel now? Luke's gospel, please. Chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, two verses, 17 and 18. This is where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper or breaking of bread, communion. Chapter 22 of Luke, 16 and 17. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. They're taking the bread, you see. That was 17. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. 18. I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. That's when he returns, of course, to the earth there. So now you take up the first cup, please, and you drink the first cup. Drink the first cup. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth as well. Now I'm going to take these three matzah bread pieces. And I've got them here. There they are. There are three pieces of matzah bread there. That's, thank you, Robert. That's fine. There are three here. There they are. One, two, three. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to break the middle one in half. I'm going to take the middle one. Here it is. And I'm going to break it in half, I hope, more or less. There it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bury this part somewhere else over here. And what happens in a home, in the Jewish home, is that when the father hides away that piece of matzah bread, and then later on the children excitedly can go and search for it in the house, and whoever finds it gets a small reward. That is called the afikomen, which I'll explain later. But you see, these three pieces of matzah bread, and I broke the middle one. The three pieces represent Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wish the Jewish people would see this. The Son is the middle one, and he was broken in death. Oh, I wish the Jewish people could see that. Three pieces of large matzah bread. The middle one representing the Son is broken and hidden away in death in the tomb. After 3 days, he comes out of the tomb. And later on, I'm going to take out the other half of the matzah bread and join it to this one, symbolizing the resurrection of Jesus. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So I've taken those, I've broken the middle matzah bread, I've hidden it to one side. It's called a afikomen, I'll explain later. So we have the matzah bread, which, as you can see, very, very thin, symbolizes the bread that the Jewish people, thank you, Robert, excellent, symbolize the bread they make in haste as they were about to leave Egypt, but couldn't add any yeast or leaven to it. And that's why they remember this matzah bread as we have it. Without yeast, it didn't rise. It's thin bread. And you can see the holes in it. Jesus was pierced for us. And you can see it's burnt. as if it was like a burnt offering. Interesting, isn't it? And he was broken in death and put into the tomb for 3 days. All very symbolic, isn't it? That's true. So will you fill the second cup now, please? Don't drink it, but fill the second cup. Don't drink it yet. We fill the second cup. Now, we've got something very interesting to do. I don't know whether you've got a spoon or you can use the end of your finger. Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you. And you're ready for this, Mary, aren't you? Now, at the end of the spoon, I want you to dip the end of the spoon into the cup that you have. And what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to do it 10 times. And we're going to drop that onto a plate or tray, anything you like. Use your finger if you wish to, Nigel. Yeah, that'll do fine. And we're going to repeat, I'll mention them first, the 10 plagues that God judged Egypt with. So we're going to take the first one, and I'll read them out to you. 10 plagues. The first one is the one when the Nile was turned into blood. So take, dip it into one, and then shake the drop onto something and shout, blood.
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 Blood. Blood.
The second one is the curse of the frogs. So dip into the wine or juice and shake it onto something and shout, frogs.
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 Frogs. Oh, shout it out.
Frogs.
Frogs.
Third one is the curse of vermin, rats or something.
Rats.
The third one is vermin. Take another drop and drop it and shout out, vermin. Right.
Vermin.
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 The next one, number four, is the beasts that came on the land as a plague and a judgment. Number four, beasts.
Beasts.
Beasts. Beasts.
The next one is moraine. Good. Whatever that was. Moraine.
Rain.
Dust, I think. So it's moraine. Moraine.
Moraine.
Moraine.
Moraine.
Moraine. Next one was the curse of boils. The next one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is boils. Boils.
Boils.
Boils. The next one was the curse of hail on the land of Egypt. Number seven. Next one, hail.
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 The next one is more familiar hail. Even today, which is locusts.
Oh, yes.
Number eight.
Locusts.
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 The next one is darkness over the land. Number nine, darkness over the land. Shout, darkness.
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 And the last one, tragic. For everyone from the Pharaoh down was the death of the firstborn.
Mm.
Number 10, the judgment to the firstborn's death. We shout, death of the firstborn. Death of the
firstborn.
Thank you very much. You took part in that very well. Well done. So they were the 10 plagues which God judged Egypt with. And the Jewish people would remember that still because it meant their rescue and release from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're able to join in because when the Lord Jesus took the cup, it was a cup of God's judgment upon him. We could call it the cup of iniquity because he took all our sins in his own body on the tree, didn't he? It was a cup of iniquity, if you like. So would you raise the cup, but don't drink it. Would you raise the cup with me in your hand like this? Raise the cup. Thank you. And I'm going to read a prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. I read it in Hebrew just now. It's the same prayer. So now we drink the cup, number two. Drink the cup. second cup. Now, if you have some cream cracker or matzo bread, whatever you have there, we're going to use it in just a moment. Okay. So we take the matzo bread or your cream cracker. I want you to break it in a couple of parts. Yes, break it in at least two, if not three parts. We're going to use it in a moment. And there's a prayer here, and I'm going to read it in Hebrew first, and then I'm going to read it in English afterwards. In Hebrew, it is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotze Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And so that's how we have it. So what I'm going to do now, instead of we can use a bit of herb depending on what you've got there, but I hope you've got some horseradish. Now, if you don't like horseradish, never mind, we can do without. But if you have some celery or a piece of lettuce, whatever you have, or a piece of
parsley.
Parsley, yes, I couldn't think of the name. Parsley or piece of celery or whatever you have, anything like that. And I want you to dip it in if you have it. I want you to dip it in, please. I've got some lettuce, you can use that as well. I want you to dip it into the horseradish and eat it. Take as much as you can because I want your eyes to water. This symbolized the tears of the Hebrews in slavery. If you have enough, it should bring tears to your eyes a bit.
Onions.
Oh, if you've had some quite strong horseradish, it might.
Can I just say to you, Ella has arrived, and I'm going to stop sharing the screen now so you can see everybody.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's Ella. Okay. Hello.
Hello. We're into the Passover now.
How lovely. Things have gotten crazy here. Yesterday and today.
Not to worry. Enjoy it with us, whatever you do. Okay.
I'm going to listen while I do my exercises.
All right.
Because Aunt Ellie got to bed, so we have to go.
We're going through the Passover.
Lovely. I'll be quiet.
All right.
We've got
a little way ahead in the Passover. We've drunk two of the four cups of red wine or juice, whatever you have. And we just reached the point whereby we remember how the Jewish people suffered in Egypt under the burden of slavery and cruelty. And we had the horseradish, which was supposed to raise tears to our eyes. And here's a prayer for that, thinking of our Lord Jesus now. We remember you, O Lord, who drank the bitter cup for us. You became sin for us. You drank the cup of God's wrath to the very last drop, that we may become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the bitter cup of sin into his body and suffered his death for us. In Jewish life, the matzah bread and the different bitter herbs were all combined and eaten together. And when Jesus was with his disciples, including Judas, he offered Judas, you know, the sop. And the sop was that. It was the gathering together of all the bitter herbs and the celery, perhaps, or the parsley, whatever they had, combined together and he gave it out of love to Judas, knowing full well he was going to betray him soon after. John's gospel puts it remarkably descriptive. It said that before they drank the cup, Judas left, It was night. Interesting. It was night.
Yeah.
It was night in the soul of Judas, I would suggest. Night in the soul of Judas. And it was at nighttime anyway, at time of the evening. So that's important. Judas left. Now, normally at this time, we would have a meal together. We would have a Passover meal. Well, we can't do that now, of course. But under the circumstances, we could, in a sense, have communion. Well, you're going to have that on Sunday. But we're more or less doing that now. We're taking the cup and we're having the matzah bread or cream cracker broken. And that we remember the Lord's death until he comes. So in that sense, it is like the breaking of bread and communion together. Now, I want to get that other piece I broke off. Ella would know about this, which is not there at the moment. But I'm going to join. I've had the two halves of the matzah bread, and I'm going to join them together. This symbolizes the resurrection of the second person of the Trinity. It's called the aphikoman. I'll explain aphikoman later on. And it's joined together, as I have it here, in a symbolic way, which symbolizes the resurrection of Jesus from death to life, as he met his disciples, and many others too. As 1 Corinthians 15, he met even over 500 of Christians who witnessed him and saw him. Now, will you fill the third cup, please? Fill the third cup. Third cup. Don't drink it yet. Fill the third cup. It's called, and Robert put on four cups of wine. The third cup is called the cup of redemption. And in the Passover and Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, he took the third cup of the meal, as we are, and that was the cup of redemption, but the cup of redemption in his blood, as we know well. And the prayer comes, if you like, when the Lord Jesus says, remember we read in Exodus 6, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. So he did. He did that for the Hebrews in Egypt and delivered them, and he's delivered us. All the consequences of sin. Praise the Lord for that. So the prayer is this, and I'm going to read the prayer in English. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who feeds the whole world in thy goodness and your grace and your loving kindness and tender mercy. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And this is the third cup of redemption. Jewish people say in their tradition that only the king could drink this cup. Interesting. Because Jesus said, as I read, I will not drink this fruit of the vine again until I drink it new with you in my kingdom when the king comes. I wish the Jewish people could see that, but they can't. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever, from this time forth and forevermore. We take the third cup, please, and we now drink it together. Drink the third cup, symbolizing the third cup of redemption. Redemption for the Hebrews through the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel. They use the hyssop to put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. In Luke 22:20, which I read, likewise the cup after supper, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. In Jewish homes, traditionally, what they do, they open the door. It's there to welcome Elijah. But as Jesus said, Elijah, or type of Elijah, has already come, John the Baptist. This is in Matthew's Gospel, of course, and others. So would you fill the fourth cup now, please? Finally, the fourth cup. Fill the fourth cup. I'm going to read in a moment. Don't drink the fourth cup yet. A few things to do. If you have your Bibles, please, we can all share this. I'm going to read some extracts from some of the Psalms, starting with the 115th Psalm. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We could all take it in turns to read, if you wish. Psalm 115. Would you, someone, read verses 1 to 3, please? 1 to 3.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases.
Thank you. Would someone read now from verse 13 to 18 at the end? Verse 13 to 18 at the end, please.
Sorry. Which psalm is it?
115. From verse 13 to 18, please.
He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Now to the next psalm, please. Next psalm, 116, from verses 13 to 19, the end. 116, 13 to 19, please.
I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Places, isn't it? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Very appropriate. The next psalm is a short one, 117. It's only two verses. 117, please. 1 and 2.
Praise the Lord, all nations. Lord him, all peoples. For his loving kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord.
Amen to that. Merciful kindness towards us. His truth is eternal. Hallelujah. 118 now. It's a bit longer. 118. If someone would please read from 19 through to 26.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter in them. I will give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. I have and have become my salvation. A stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us now, we beg you, Lord. Lord, we beg you, send prosperity now. Blessed is he who comes in the Lord's name. We have blessed you out of the Lord's house. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever.
Yes, thank you very much. He's opened up the gates of righteousness for us, certainly in verse 19. Here's a stone which the builders rejected, but is now the chief cornerstone. And we can praise the Lord for all his, how he's given us light. Wonderful psalm. Now next, 136, Psalm 136. 136. Someone please read verses 10 to 16. I know it's repetitive. 136, 10 to 16, please.
Forgive him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever, and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, his mercy endures forever. And he made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrow Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever.
Thank you. Now move to verse 21 to the end. Verse 21 to the end. Someone please.
And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. I'll give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen. Most appropriate psalms to read at this time, particularly relating to the history of Israel and their salvation, that's true. Well, we're going to give thanks for the final fourth cup. Let me just tell you what the four cups really represent. You know, one, the first cup we drank was the cup of sanctification, the setting apart of the whole Passover meal. Second cup is a cup of thanksgiving and praise for deliverance. The third cup we know is the cup of redemption and is a blessing. Now, the fourth cup we're going to drink is symbolizing the acceptance that we have with the Lord and with what Israel had when they were set free to go through the Red Sea and into the land of Canaan or Israel. So there was an acceptance there. That's the reason for the four cups that we have before us. Cup of sanctification, cup of thanksgiving and praise, cup of redemption or blessing, and the cup of acceptance with the Lord. So that's certainly true. So I'm going to read a prayer now, as a cup is a cup of acceptance, and of course thanksgiving for us because we've been accepted in the Beloved. Thy name be praised forever, our King, the great and holy King, both in heaven and on earth. For unto thee, O Lord our God, God of our fathers, belong song and praise, hymn and psalm, greatness, might, adoration and glory, holiness and majesty, blessing and thanksgiving from now and forevermore. What a description. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits upon the throne unto the Lamb forever and ever. Of course, that comes in the book of Revelation, doesn't it? So I'm going to, before we drink the cup, which we will do now, and when the Jewish people drink this cup, they say, next year in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. as they long to go back. Lashana Haba'a Yerushalayim in the Hebrew, next year in Jerusalem. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine, is in English. Baruch atah Edenehu Adonai Eloheinu, Amin, Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Let's drink the fourth cup. Should we say next year in Jerusalem? I'm not sure about that. Maybe next year in heaven.
Next year in the new Jerusalem.
In heaven.
Next year in
heaven. Thank you very much.
In heaven.
Well, there are also hymns that could be sung at this time by Christians. How lovely on the mountains our God reigns. You know that one. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, from Isaiah. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Do you know that one off by heart? Yes? Hallelujah, for the Lord our God. No? All right, we'll leave it.
I've got one ready to go anyway.
You've got one ready, okay, that's good, yes. And you are the King of Glory, yes he is, he's a Prince of Peace.
Yeah, I know that.
Now the Afikomen, you know the part that was broken and hidden away? What's Afikomen mean? Well, I want to read that for you, so I can find it. Afikomen. What have I done with it? Just a moment. Here it is. The mystery of the Afikomen. I'll spell it for you. Afikomen. A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N. Afikomen. It's a mysterious word. It's a Greek word. Well, people have different opinions about this, but afikomen is a Greek word which gives a full and satisfying explanation. It reads, I came. That's the meaning of afikomen. I came. And so did Jesus. I came. Who came? Well, the Jesus. Ones. Who represents the broken matzah or the broken biscuit. The Lord Jesus Christ, the true Pesach. So in the Afikomen, the Lord Jesus calls us as we wait and hope for his return for us. The Jewish people say, well, Messiah hasn't come yet, he's going to come. Oh no, he has already been. Because he was a true Passover lamb. He says, I am the fulfillment of all that you've been doing in its symbolism. Afikomen, I came and is coming again.
Nice to come now.
Amen.
Now, what about the Passover? The church has called a certain time, remembering the Lord's death, Easter. I don't like that word.
No, nor do I.
Well, why the change from Passover date to another date? Well, Constantine, who, as you know, was a Roman emperor in the 4th century, eventually he prohibited, he says he became a Christian, no he didn't. He prohibited Christians celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus at the same time as a Passover. He forbade it in the year 325 AD. That's why they were separated and they were from then on to now. He would not allow Christians to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus at the Passover time. He wanted to separate the Jewish situation from the church situation. But we know as we celebrate the Passover correctly, we do remember the death and resurrection of Jesus because he is the Passover lamb. And the early Christians celebrated the death and resurrection of Jesus at the Passover time until 325 AD when Emperor Constantine forced the change. So sadly, ever since then, Israel is removed from the scene of prophecy. It's the church now, they say, and removed everything Jewish out of the way. And it began in 325 with Constantine. Now we come to more and more paganizing of the land, paganizing of life, because we have removed the Jewish of the symbolism of Passover. Unfortunately, there's been the separation. Now, you and I, I'm sure, do not do that separation. We know Israel has a part in God's plan eventually, when the church is complete and removed, and he begins his work on Israel again. And they will see him whom they pierced. Was pierced at the Passover time. He was a lamb crucified at 9 a.m. with the morning sacrifice in the temple. And he died at 3 p.m. in the ninth hour, the sacrifice of the evening sacrifice of the lamb in the temple. How can you divide Passover from what they now call Easter? Should never, never do it. Our roots are in Jewish biblical history. I'm sure we all agree with that. So we have celebrated, in a sense, the Passover to some extent, as the Jewish people do in their homes each year. And following on this was a feast of unleavened bread, which followed straight on, which symbolizes for the Christian holiness of life. No sin in our, should we say, held against us. We sin occasionally, but we do not sin permanently. Just occasionally, and we seek the Lord. But the very sin penalty is removed from us. His power is removed from us, we hope. And one day, the very presence of sin will be removed from us. As far as east is from the west, so far as our sins have been removed now. And they are remembered no more because a Passover lamb was sacrificed for us.
Amen.
We will never separate out the crucifixion of Jesus as the Lamb of God from the Jewish Passover. It's very significant. Over to you.
Thank you, Don. Just to conclude this part of this afternoon, I have a hymn to play, if I may. It's you'll know it. So I'll just get on and play it. Thank you.
you, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your talk through this afternoon. Mm. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. We've got an advert coming.
Where is it? I'm going to have to counter that.